Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about opening our eyes to a new view of life. You know, each day we live, we have a series of choices of where we spend our time and what to think and how to go about our day. Some people choose to fill their day with worthwhile things like uplifting podcasts. And this podcast is born from a deep desire to help us all live a happier life and the firm belief that a powerful way to make that happen is to open our eyes to new ways of seeing life. So hopefully today and this time together, you'll get a new perspective of how to think and live better. And if you like this podcast, please share it with a friend. Just may be what they need in their life today. Okay, let's get started. Today, I'd like to talk about this concept. How do you know? In the early 2000s, Jessica Jackley was a young graduate student studying international development. Like many people her age, she wanted to help end poverty, but she didn't know how. She had imagined working for the United Nations or a large nonprofit, but the more she studied global economics, the more discouraged she became. Everywhere she looked, the numbers were overwhelming. Billions of people living on less than $2 a day. Entire regions dependent on foreign aid that rarely reached the people who needed it most. And she began to wonder if anything or any one person could really matter. She felt that her life was to be one of helping the less fortunate around the world, but she didn't know how, and she wasn't sure if her ideal was just that, an ideal, not a reality. It's hard to know, isn't it, if you're headed in the right direction. When things seem impossible, when you seem small, when there doesn't seem to be a clear path to the desired outcome, when things are uncertain, maybe you are in the middle of a hard-to-know moment right now in your life. If so, let's learn from Jessica. In 2004, she attended a talk by Muhammad Yunus, the Bangladeshi economist who pioneered microcredit, which is the idea of giving small loans to poor entrepreneurs so they could start their own businesses. Yunus told simple stories. A woman buying a cow so she could sell milk, a man starting a bicycle repair shop, a family doing similar things to finally afford education for their children. Jackley said later that she left that talk on fire. For the first time, she realized that the poor didn't need charity. They needed opportunity, no matter how small, and trust and access. She couldn't shake the thought that if people in wealthy countries could see the faces and stories of these entrepreneurs, that they'd want to help. But how to do that, she didn't know. Well, a year later, she co-founded an organization called Kiva with her then-husband, Matt Flannery. The idea was radical in its time. Create an online platform where anyone in the world could lend as little as $25 directly to small entrepreneurs in poorer countries. The borrowers in these poorest countries of the world would apply and create a profile for a loan. The lenders can then choose to lend, and the loans would be repaid, and the lenders could reloan the money again or collect it. At first, Kiva was tiny. Jackley personally uploaded borrowers' profiles from Uganda, where she'd spent time interviewing entrepreneurs. The first batch of loans, totaling just $3,500, was fully funded in less than a day. She was surprised, but had a sense she was on the right track. Within a year, Kiva had grown beyond anything she had imagined. By 2012, it had facilitated over $400 million in loans. Today, that number exceeds $2 billion, with a repayment rate on those loans of over 96%. Jackley has said that the moment she knew she was on the right track wasn't when the numbers skyrocketed, it was earlier in Uganda, when one woman she interviewed named Florence said, "With this money, I no longer need to bake. I can build something." That was the moment, she said, "I realized that this is what I'm supposed to do. Connect people so that both sides can believe in possibility again." Here's the thing. Rarely do we know with absolute certainty that we're on the right path. We start something new without certainty, hoping that it's right, but often unsure. So if that's the case, then how do you know? Yes, after you see results or look back with hindsight, you can possibly know. But what if you're not operating with hindsight? How do you know? In the early 2000s, a businessman named Bill Courtney owned a lumber company in Memphis, Tennessee called Classic American Hardwoods. He had built a successful career, but he also felt a strong pull to make a difference in the lives of young people through football, something that he loved. When Manassas High School, a struggling public school in North Memphis, needed a volunteer football coach, he stepped forward. The Manassas Tigers had long been one of the weakest programs in the state. They had limited resources, old equipment, no real culture of success. And most of the players came from difficult circumstances like poverty and instability and family challenges. Bill didn't know what was the right approach. How could he create a winning team? And when you set forward a strategy, how do you know it's the right one? I know many of you are leading teams, and you probably ask yourself a lot, how do I know if what I'm doing, the path that I'm laying out ahead of my team, is right? Well, as a leader of a large organization, this question comes to my mind often, and it's natural to ask this question. So, what did Bill do? Well, Bill felt deeply that he was not there to just teach football. He wanted to win, but in his assessment, the boys needed character and discipline and belief before anything else. And he thought that if they could find these things, then football would follow. Well, he talked to his players over and over again about being responsible and keeping commitments and working hard for one another. He tried to show them that football was more than winning games. It was about who they were becoming as young men. His approach started to work. And over several years, the Manassas team began to change. They started winning games, building pride, and supporting one another. More importantly, the players began to see new possibilities for their lives. And that story became the focus of the 2011 documentary Undefeated, which followed Courtney and his team through the season. The film won an Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature, bringing national attention to the unlikely story of a volunteer coach who helped turn around not just a team, but a group of young men. Bill said that as he reflected on his experience, character is what you do when no one's watching. Here's the point. One way you know if you're leading your team in the right way is if you are leading based on proven principles. For example, the proven principles for your team may be those critical activities that generate results, done with a high level of accountability that ensures performance. These may be principles you can trust. So rely on principles that last. If you are a parent, how do you know if you're parenting the right way, especially when it's not clear? Proven principles. I found as a parent that sticking to proven principles allowed me to say no when it was difficult. For example, well-known social psychologist Jonathan Haidt, in his book, The Anxious Generation, lays out some very simple principles for parenting in today's age of social media and AI. Here are his four principles. No smartphones before high school. No social media before age 16. No phones in schools. And give kids more independence and play without supervision. His argument is simple. The social media robs kids of being able to think deeply, to concentrate on subjects, and develop people skills. Independent play and activities help kids get creative away from their helicopter parents. And most of all, because social media creates addictions that lead to chronic anxiety, simply say no. Now, lately, I've been watching my daughter with her kids. They're entering teenage years and wanting a smartphone. Her proven principles say not before 16. They can have a gab phone to call and text, but no smartphones. How does she know what to do as a parent? Well, she doesn't for sure, but for now, she's relying on principles that make sense. She reads, she learns, and she sets those principles in place early with her kids. And you know what? Her kids are kind. They read books, they talk to people, and they do well in school. Now, what about you, for your life? How do you know when you really don't know? Well, you can do the same. Act on proven principles. Acting on proven principles in your life helps you align with your values. And when your actions reflect your deepest values, you experience a sense of harmony, an internal peace that doesn't depend on external success. Psychologists call this self-concordance. Now, studies by researchers Edward Deci and Richard Ryan show that people are happiest and most resilient when their goals are aligned with their intrinsic values rather than imposed by external pressure or comparison. In other words, when your goals are yours, not someone else's ideas of success, you feel more engaged and purposeful. You have more assurance. Now, there are signs that you're on the right track, and they don't always come in the form of success. Sometimes they're small, quiet confirmations, like you lose track of time doing what you're doing, or you're tired, but the tired feels meaningful. You can trace the connection between your work and someone else's good. You feel proud of who you're becoming and not just what you're achieving. But perhaps the most reliable sign is peace. Not comfort, peace. Comfort means ease. Peace means alignment. Peace says, I might be struggling, I might be working hard, but I know I'm in the right struggle. Bill Courtney didn't coach because it was easy. He did it because it made him feel right with himself. And many of those young men went to college and built stable lives, and that ripple effect began with one man choosing to stay the course when the track wasn't smooth or he didn't know how. The problem with not knowing how or not knowing if you're on the right track is that you start to second-guess yourself, reaching for the latest fad solution when things don't turn around in the short term. This can happen in your business as well. It's tempting to abandon proven practices for recent fads. And if you do and they don't work, then you're really lost. So stick with the critical activities. The self-assurance you get from doing so will carry you through the less than clear or less than spectacular times. A few years ago, Elena quit her corporate job to start a small design studio. And everyone told her she was crazy. The first year was brutal. She lost clients, burned through savings, and nearly gave up. But she kept a simple daily practice. Every night, she wrote down one moment from the day that felt true. Sometimes it was a small thing, helping a client find their voice in a logo or mentoring a new designer. Well, after 6 months, she noticed a pattern. The moments that felt true were always when she was creating something that helped others. And that became her compass. She stopped chasing clients who wanted fast work and started serving ones who valued collaboration. And as a result, her income doubled. But more importantly, she felt she was on the right track. Well, what's the next way to know you're on the right track when you aren't quite sure? Here's what I've learned. God will give you some signs. And those signs come in the form of people, encouragement, moments of clarity, or a feeling of certainty. Years ago, I was living in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I had a job as the VP of Finance and Operations for a Fortune 500 company. I had a friend who worked for a large recruiting firm. He had helped me early in my career by leading me to a company and a job that really helped me out. Well, he called me one day and asked me, have you ever been to Idaho Falls, Idaho? And I said, no. He said, would you like to go? And I said, no. Sensing some resistance on my part, he said, look, I'm flying through the Northern Kentucky airport tomorrow. Just come down and have lunch with me. That's what old friends do for their friends. So I reluctantly agreed. When I got there, we talked. He told me about a small company in Idaho Falls named Melaleuca. They were looking for a chief operating officer, and he thought I was the guy. As we talked, something inside me said, it won't hurt to take a look. So a few weeks later, I got on a plane to fly to Idaho. When the plane landed, I disembarked into a very small airport. I wasn't impressed. I drove through a small town. I wasn't impressed. It was nothing like Atlanta or Houston or Cincinnati where I had been living. I got to the headquarters of the company. It was years ago, and at that time, the headquarters building was quite small. And as I toured the building, I wasn't impressed. And I started to ask myself, why am I here? Then I sat down with a few people to talk. One was the founder of the business. Frank talked about his vision, to have their products in every household, to help people reach their goals, to run a debt-free business, to help people become debt-free, to tell the truth in business, to become world-class, to hire the best talent, and on he went. And the more he talked, the more I wanted to join him in this effort. I wasn't impressed with the airport or town or offices, but I was completely impressed with the mission, the leader, the people, and the opportunity to do something to help others. Well, after I took the job and relocated my family to Idaho, things weren't easy or obvious. The move was a huge adjustment. The business had challenges, and I encountered things I didn't anticipate. Yet, how did I know I was on the right track? Well, God put small miracles in my path. I met people who were being helped by my work. I found success in places I didn't anticipate. I grew close to the people I worked with. I felt a sense of mission. Not all at once, but enough each week or month to feel sustained in my uncertainty. The decision was the right decision. As a result, I've started businesses in many countries. I've made friendships that will last a lifetime. And I felt a sense of purpose beyond my own selfish goals. Now, what about you? Do you have something similar in which God is telling you to show up, stay at it, give it your best effort? And he tells you these things by the small miracles and people and purposes he shows you as you go about your work? This is how you know. And sometimes, once in a while, he'll also just tell you that sudden sense of realization or purpose that will come to your mind and you will feel him speak to you. Years ago, when my oldest daughter was in college, she didn't know what to do. She wanted to put her college studies on hold for a year or two to serve as a volunteer. She kept coming to talk to me about it. "What should I do?" she asked. I reasoned with her, asked her questions, but she still couldn't come to a decision. Finally, after several months of this, I said to her, "Look, sometimes I've found that you have to walk down the path of uncertainty a bit. You have to try the thing on and start as if you're going to do it, and then you find the answer that you're seeking. You may feel God talking to you a bit more." So she filled out her volunteer application. She went through the process of getting ready to stop her college coursework for a bit and serve. And after sending in her application, she still didn't know what was right. She was confused. She had no clarity. Then one day, a letter arrived from the church organization telling her where in the world she would be assigned to serve and volunteer. It could have been in any one of dozens of different countries. We all gathered in a conference room in an office building of a friend near her school. My wife and I and two of our other children were there with Kristen. She opened the letter. She read the letter aloud. The letter said, "You are hereby assigned to serve in London, England." Then she paused. We all felt the feeling. She was silent, and two tears streamed down her cheeks. She looked at me and quietly mouthed the words, "Now I know." And she did. She knew what she was supposed to do. And she went, and she gave of herself and her time, and she returned a completely different, better person from the experience. Maybe in your life, you need to do the same. If you don't know, maybe you need to just get started and walk down the path and give it your full self and try. And maybe along the path, you will find the feeling or knowledge that you need to know. Sometimes we don't start walking because we're afraid, or the uncertainty keeps us from walking forward. If you want to start that business, but you aren't sure you can do it, go, walk, try. You want to go back to school, but you aren't sure you can give it the work needed. Go, walk, try. Whatever it may be for you in your life right now, my advice is start walking, give it your all, and soon you will know. And along the way, ask yourself, do I like who I am when I'm doing this? And if the answer is yes, or even starting to feel like yes, then maybe you know what you should know. Again, being on the right track isn't about comfort or ease, and it's not about where you are today. It's about how you feel when you work and try, and who you are becoming in the process. It doesn't mean a perfect path, because it's not. As a great author once said, the essence of man is imperfection. And I would say the essence of learning and becoming who you're supposed to become is learning from and embracing imperfection. NBA coach Rick Pitino, who's made plenty of mistakes in his career, said, failure can be good. It's fertilizer. Everything I've learned about coaching, I've learned from making mistakes. So if you fail and make mistakes, then it's helping you to know. So fix your vision on what's ahead. When you look beyond today, you can handle what today brings. Think about it. If you trip and fall on a marathon race, which I've done, it doesn't stop you. You get up and get back on pace in order to meet your end goal. When you focus on where you're headed, you have more assurance of who you are. Remember, our eyes are placed in front of us for a reason. One author wrote, "A moment of conscious triumph makes one feel that after this, nothing will really matter. A moment of realized disaster makes one feel that this is the end of everything." But neither feeling is realistic, for neither event is really what it is felt to be. Focus on where you are headed. Scottie Scheffler, currently ranked number one on the PGA Tour, said, "I'm not worried about winning every tournament or not making mistakes. I'm only worried about getting a little bit better each day. And if I do that, everything will take care of itself." Next, how do you know if you're on the right track when things seem too difficult? It is a simple fact that difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations. And you may be on a difficult road, but I know there is relief and success coming soon, and you were placed on this earth to make a few mistakes and to learn from them. Could it really be that God's plan is a plan of learning from our mistakes? And if that is the case, then the difficult road you are on is a purposeful road to help you rise to become more like your Maker and more like the person you're destined to be. You are the work of God's hands. You may have disappointed yourself or someone else, but not Him. He believes in the person you can become and is ordering and directing your road for the purpose of helping you along the way. Your difficult road will help you rise, and you can find the strength to travel that road. Now, another related part of how do you know is this. Stay connected to those who have gone before you. Learn from them. Listen to them. Be a student. Success leaves clues. Some of you are starting a business. How do you know what to do? Well, get connected to those who have gone before you. Learn. Listen. I take faith in and gain trust from people who have done what I'm trying to do. You know more when you follow what others have done. On that topic, do you know what receiver has the most receiving yards in NFL history? Jerry Rice of the San Francisco 49ers. He didn't achieve his records, almost 23,000 receiving yards, by talent alone. He studied patterns of success and executed them relentlessly. Early in his career, he watched films of great players and analyzed their routes, footwork, and timing. He looked for repeatable patterns that led to successful catches. He was famous for arriving early and leaving late at every practice. He followed guidance from his trainers and maintained strict routines for diet, sleep, and training. And by doing so consistently over decades, he minimized injury and maximized his results. What about you? Do you pay close attention to the success of those who have gone before? And do you strive to put in place those important practices? Next time you're trying to do something new or doing something old again and wondering how you know if you're on the right track, remember, stick to proven principles. Watch for small miracles that will come your way and speak peace to you about your decisions. Ask yourself, do I like who I am when I'm doing this? Don't worry about setbacks or mistakes, and learn all you can from those who have gone before. And watch. You will know and come to know that you are where you are supposed to be. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And don't forget to share this podcast with a friend. And join us next week as we learn to open our eyes to who and what we can become.